The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, thank you so much for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. It is such a pleasure. Anytime I get to talk to this guy, it's a joy, it's a good day. Phil Corson, senior pastor at Abundant Grace Community Church in Gainesville. Of course, we have our station WTMN in Gainesville. And Phil, what a delight to have you on the line, especially in light of what we're going to be talking about today. But welcome back to my program, my friend.
Hey, thank you, Mike, for having me. I appreciate it. And we love you and Cindy so much. And it's just great to talk to you.
Yeah, it's crazy. We spent 17 years in Gainesville, my wife and I, and moved up there with three of our four kids, all of which, I might add, became Gators. And graduated from the University of Florida. So I am forever a Gator dad. It forever holds a very special place in my heart, as do you, Phil.
And well, thank you, man.
So we're talking today. Everybody is continuing to talk today about this. You know, the new terms are C-19. That's the latest iteration, what I've heard. The coronavirus became COVID, became COVID-19, became now C-19. And this whole pandemic is continuing to not only affect, but it just completely fills up our day with things like wearing masks and getting tests. And this, for you guys, it has been especially pertinent. It's a very close to the home, close to the heart topic for you guys, because it's now okay. I mean, I'm glad to say you're out of the woods, but both you and your lovely wife have been fighting this thing. You were both positive and both ill. So Phil, tell us a little bit about the saga of what happened to you, how you came to realize you had this thing. And I'm sure in the beginning you didn't believe it when you were getting sick that it could be COVID.
Yeah. You know, it's been quite the journey here. It was probably, you know, the weekend of July 4th, where I had, you know, I wasn't feeling well, but that was just normal anyway. I was just more tired than anything else. I spoke on Sunday, July 5th, and then went to work on Monday and Tuesday. And it was probably Tuesday evening when I noticed a shift and felt something in my body, just, you know, more strength being gone, different things like that. And so I went and got tested on Wednesday the 8th, and Wednesday, July the 8th, and got the results back a couple days later saying that I had tested positive for COVID. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, by the grace of God, that was Wednesday the 8th, July 10th, which was that Friday, was my wife and I's 38th wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations so here in the midst, on that.
Yeah, that's right. So here we are celebrating our 38th wedding anniversary, both of us having COVID. But in the providence of God, I had already scheduled the other pastor to speak on the 12th and the 19th. And so he was already on the docket for that. And basically, I spent from the day that I got tested pretty much to the following week, maybe a little bit longer. You know, COVID hit me good, affected me more so in my I was just exhausted. I was sleeping, had no appetite. I was probably sleeping 24 hours in the day. I would just get up to do different things just for a little bit with my wife, but I just had no strength, no energy, no appetite. And I had a little bit of a fever a couple days. It'd go up one day, I would have it, the next day I wouldn't. And then the next day I would be there for about an hour. And then just trying to gauge it, tried to stay off medicines that would relate to the fever, because what I was being told was allow the fever to hit your body, because that fever will kill the COVID as well. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was, you know, a little bit later on, got some breathing treatments as far as a steroid that they put me on. And so I did that for 5 straight days, every 4 hours. And so I would basically wake up, do my breathing treatments, jump in the shower, go back to bed. I mean, that was the routine. And if my wife brought me food, it would be just, I would only just say, I just want a bite. That's it. And so, you know, but there was about a 5 or 6 day period where they say you got to get over that hump. And once you get over that hump, you know, then you start to recover and different things like that. And that really happened, you know, that breathing treatments and everything that I was doing, I felt like I'd gotten over the hump and getting out of it. I was doing pretty much every, you know, every time I got up, I had to do my oxygen levels. If you drop below 90, they at that point, they want you in to look at going to the ER. I was hanging out at the 91, 92 mark the entire time. Whereas now, I mean, I literally just took it just a second ago. I'm at 98. You're supposed to be at 100. Mm-hmm. I'm at 98, 99. So my oxygen levels are good. I feel great right now and feel like I'm back to normal. But, you know, it's just a process. That's really what you have to do. And nothing to be fearful about. Wasn't fearful when I heard that I got COVID. My wife hasn't been fearful at all when she got it, because she probably got it from me. And her symptoms were a little bit different than mine. You know, hers was more headaches, you know, just strong sinus infection, dizziness, things along those lines. And she periodically had some other things that were more pain oriented, not necessarily fever oriented. And we've just been kind of living in separate bedrooms and quarantining ourselves as much as we can. But, you know, I'm going on 3 weeks now where I've been quarantined. So over 21 days where I've been in just my house. And but now I'm feeling better. So I'm taking walks in the morning and the evening. Mm-hmm. And trying to just build my stamina back up. But by the grace of God, I'm in a good place. You know, I really stuck to Psalm 91 during the process. And when I would be up, just praying to the Lord, Psalm 103:3, He heals all diseases, praying Psalm 91. And you know, by the grace of God, I feel like I'm recovering and I'm at a much better place.
You know, Phil, when we think back to all the things that any of us have gone through, none of those experiences are like what this one has been in terms of its worldwide impact. And then it becomes very real for you guys as you're finding out that you are both COVID positive. Now, in the beginning, there were several days where you weren't feeling great and your wife was caring for you as she always would. And those are the moments that are so like, what do you do when a person is sick? Do you instantly quarantine everybody out because you didn't know you were COVID-19 positive in the beginning? So that makes for a difficult situation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. You know, you're trying to be wise. We rehearsed over, you know, I had to go back with all the meetings I had on Monday and Tuesday and contact those individuals and let them know that I have, that, you know, from what I understand, everybody that I hung out with Monday and Tuesday and a little bit on Saturday, nobody has tested positive for COVID. Everybody's doing great. So that was good news. Mm-hmm. But I definitely felt the shift in me, like I said, on Tuesday, as when I felt like, okay, there's something. This is either the flu or this is COVID, one of the two. But, you know, because even when I have flu, my go-to thing is I sleep. I don't know what it is, but if I get sick, I just put me in bed because I'm going to sleep through it. And that just seems to be my thing. But my wife was heroic through the process, keeping me, making sure, checking on me constantly, and making sure I was taking the things that I needed to take and get up when I needed to get up for the breathing treatments and stuff like that. But so, yeah, it is different. You want to be careful with family. So even if, you know, when I get through this, I'm still going to take extra precautions just when I'm around my family. You know, I miss my grandson and my twin granddaughters. I haven't been able to see them other than through video and pictures. So I look forward to seeing them, but I'll take extra precautions before I go back to seeing people and family, even after I test negative.
So let's talk about that for just a moment here, Phil. In case you just tuned in, friends, this is Afternoons with Mike. And on the line with me is Phil Corson, senior pastor at Abundant Grace Community Church up in Gainesville. And, you know, for those that are in Central Florida, for the longest time, most of us could say we never knew anyone that was suffering from COVID. And for weeks, if not the first couple of months, that would have been my experience. I have a lot of friends on Facebook, and nobody that I knew of was fighting with this thing. Nobody had it. And so it seems, you know, when you're in that kind of a scenario and people are using terms like pandemic and worldwide sickness and highly contagious. I mean, it puts this, you know, this fear that's out there. And then suddenly we think we're getting past it. The churches open back up in July or June rather. And then suddenly this uptick starts happening. And that's when you didn't get sick in the first phase. You got sick in this most recent second phase. And, you know, that's the thing that's so weird about this. And so if people that are hearing, Phil is doing great now, as you mentioned, as he just said a moment ago, he's feeling great. Now, your stamina is not back to normal yet.
Nowhere near. Yeah, back
to normal. Nowhere near, because I know you, and you're not one that would be worn out from taking a mere walk around the block, my friend.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
That would not be what would be normal for you. So if you go back, if you try to remember those first days that you mentioned when you thought, like, oh, this is either a severe flu or this could be COVID. And when that thought hits you that it could be COVID, I think a lot of people who would fit in that description that I've just mentioned, there's fear about it. They hear about it, but nobody they know has it. And now they are able to hear from somebody who's recovering from it. What goes on in the mind when it hits you that you just might have the coronavirus?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, what I did was I just instantly went to scripture and my faith and trust in the Lord. You know, because whether it's COVID, whether it's the flu, whether it's pneumonia, whatever it is, whether it's cancer, it doesn't matter. You cannot let fear dictate your decisions. You can't let fear dictate anything that is your motive for living life. You know, we want to be careful. We want to be cautious. You know, we want to do everything that we can, but we want to do it in faith, not in fear. And so for me, when I got the report back, which I kind of figured it was going to be COVID related, since that was the thing that was out there. When I got the report back that I was positive, I just took it with, hey, Lord, praise God. This is an opportunity to see you move. And, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of need out there right now. I mean, my wife and I were talking yesterday on one of our walks around the neighborhood. And I said, you know, I feel like, you know, one of the reasons maybe that I have this COVID is, you know, I want to do something positive with this. So I know that they are looking for plasma from people who have experienced COVID. Mm-hmm. I said, so once I get this negative result and I can do this, I'm going to go down and give plasma for somebody that is in bad shape that really needs it much more than, you know, me. So I look at, you know, Lord, what do you want to do through me in this time of COVID and me walking through the process of this? And I'm trusting the Lord. I'm praying as I'm up doing breathing treatments. I'm listening to scripture. I'm doing different things. But, you know, my faith was fully trusting in the Lord. I'm not afraid of COVID. You know, I know the power of God can come and change any situation. And so I was in faith the entire time and trusting God. Lord, you know this. You knew I was going to get this. So I'm trusting you to get me through it. And then once I'm through it, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the idea of the plasma thing came up. And so, you know, I'll look into that when I get the my test results back and I hit negative. But, you know, but there's a reason for these things all the time. And hopefully, you know, one of the things I want to do is to bring comfort to those out there and to bring faith to people that may be fearful. Don't be fearful of this. Be wise, be prudent. You know, people talk about all the time that, you know, especially as a pastor, you're trying to be wise and prudent with a whole flock of people. And as a pastor in your church, you've got people who are, this is a conspiracy theory against Trump. This is that. Why are we wearing masks? You're giving into fear and you're doing this. And I'm just like, no, I'm not. I'm trying to be wise, not with just your political view, but, you know, I'm trying to be wise to care for our people, our flock. And I'm not in fear if we ask people to wear a mask to come into the building, take that mask off when during worship, and then when you're leaving, put the mask back on and go. Mm-hmm. We're not doing that out of fear. We're doing that being wise and prudent. Just like, you know, are you fearful at night when you lock your door to your house? You know, no, you're not fearful. You're being wise and you're being prudent. Mm-hmm. And so these are the things that you have to see that you walk through. And as pastors and as a pastor walking our church through this, we're trying to do it in faith. We're trying to do it out of a sense of love and care for other people. Mm-hmm. And that's really been my motive and how I've viewed COVID for me. Lord, I've got faith and trust in you that you're going to get me through this. I'm not fearful. And once I get through it, I'm going to be a better man for it. And then what can I do now that I have it or had it? What can I do now to serve my fellow man? And what can I do to serve my brother and sister that's out there? And that's where I feel like giving the plasma is going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm. There's a verse that I always go to whenever I'm facing a difficult time. It's Psalm 112. I love this. I know you know this passage. He is not afraid. This is verse 7. He is not afraid of bad news. Speaking of the righteous man, here's why. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid. And I think
that's a powerful scripture, Mike.
It really is. It's something that I've carried for years. My father-in-law was the one that quoted that to me back years ago when we went through some very difficult times. And, you know, sometimes you look back at your life and those difficult times, it's like God gives you a bit of ammunition that you add to your arsenal in fighting the enemy and walking everyday life out. And that verse has been that for me, you know, that we are called by God to live in such a way that we do not just totally capitulate to bad news and fear and all of that. And this thing has, I believe, caught a lot of people off guard because, number one, most of us have never lived up close like this to a pandemic that was certainly not one that I know I've gone through pandemics before. I don't want to say that. I'm old, so I've been around.
Right, right.
But not one that affected the country the way this one has affected the country. And yet in the middle of this, God's word has not changed. You know, I love the fact that you cannot just diminish or water down the word of God by a pandemic.
Right.
You know, God is greater than this virus. So I'm so grateful you hung on. The final question I have before a break on this, again, folks, this is Phil Corson, who's recovering from COVID-19, and he's doing much better now, thankfully, and sleeping a lot less than what he was.
That's exactly right.
And feeling a whole bunch more. I tell you, it's a whole bunch more like normal. I'm so grateful for that. Well, I think one of the biggest things that when the news came out and people started getting images from other countries and they had these big, I will never forget it, seeing this image of this hospital overseas where they had like beds lined up one right and all these people are on these huge breathing machines and all this stuff. And it just looked like, boy, if you got this thing, it's over. I mean, you know, that was the image that they were trying to put out. How did you handle the fear about death? How did that strike you? Did that thought come to you?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I wasn't worried about death at that point. Maybe in the height of it, I was worried about death, but, you know, walking through it. But I don't think I ever got to that point. I haven't been, you know, I know people that have it a lot worse than me. I don't feel, as I was looking at my oxygen levels going down, I the only thought I had is, okay, do I need to go to the ER? That was about it. And then, you know, at that point, you know, there would have been some other measures I would have asked the doctor for, you know, to what I've, you know, would have wanted to take and different things like that. But I didn't fear death or anything along those lines. You know, I mean, we in a sense, you know, our days are numbered by the Lord. And whether it's COVID or whether it's a plane crashing into my house, there's nothing I'm going to do to stop my day. And so I'm going to live fully for the glory of God up until that very last moment when the Lord says, okay, Phil, today's your day. And, you know, whether it's when I'm 100 or whether it's when a future date down the road, but, you know, I didn't allow that, my thoughts to run away with that. You know, you apply scripture to any situation you're walking through and you think on the things that are right, true, and pure. And then the big thing is you cannot watch the media, you know, during this time. And I mean, you just have, the media has no clue. I mean, we're finding out stuff now that, you know, they say that people are testing positive and they're not. They're getting results back. I mean, you just can't, you know, who knows what's going on other than the Lord. And, you know, every time you turn around, there's something new. You don't need to wear a mask. Oh, okay, wear a mask. Well, you don't need this. Well, don't do that. Now do this. Now do that. Mm-hmm. And they're so contradictory because nobody knows. Mm-hmm. And it's in these type situations where you just have to trust the Lord. And we know this. We know that COVID is real. Mm-hmm. And because it's real, we want to be wise and prudent, but we don't want to be fearful. And we don't want to, you know, every day it's just like, okay, well, now, you know, you've had a record day in Florida again. You had, you know, you had this and you had that. And okay, now it's starting to flatten out. And then, you know, so who knows? Who knows, brother? And that's why we walk in faith, not in fear. We're wise, we're prudent. But we're not fearful.
Talking to Phil Corson, he's the senior pastor at Abundant Grace Community Church in Gainesville, recovering from coronavirus, he and his wife. We'll be back with Phil coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. On the line today with Phil Corson, senior pastor at Abundant Grace Community Church, Gainesville, Florida. Phil and Kay, his wife, recovering and recovering well, thankfully, from COVID-19. And I waited till now to make this call just because, hey, you know, I know and you know that talking can be tiring, especially when you're talking over an hour. So this was the first week in your recovery that I've even had faith to say, hey, Phil, You want to come on the radio and talk about this thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, number one, yeah. I couldn't have talked probably last week because you'd be in a sleep right now, my man.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's been a wild ride, no doubt about it. You know, now that I'm through and I've been well over a week to 10 days where I'm feeling normal, the big thing is just building my stamina back up. And the folks that I'm talking to and the different people said that that's going to be more weeks and months, not days. Mm-hmm. And so right now, while I'm still home, my wife and I are taking walks in the morning and in the evening. And then I'm doing some work and stuff during the day, but from the house. But, you know, but then I'll have to, when I get back from my walk, our walks are anywhere from 35 to 40 minutes. And when I'll get back, I'll take a shower and then I'll need to lay down just for a bit, just to let my body kind of recuperate from it, because I can tell I get exhausted. That last leg of my walk, Kay's like, you seem to be slowing down. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to push through it. And that's what I do. And so, but I'm feeling better by the grace of God. And I'm just trying to be wise and you know, build my stamina back up. But I know it's just going to take time.
You know, when we think about the impact on this, the way it has changed the way churches are operating and still somewhat operating, many are meeting, many are not. There's a lot of churches still doing the streaming thing. And I think you're doing both of those right now, right, at Abundant Grace?
Yeah, that's correct. We started the services back, I think, the first Sunday in June. Mm-hmm. And then have been having regular live services since June, and then also live streaming. And so, you know, anywhere from, you know, will be, I would say, 45 to 55 people. There was a couple Sundays, I think, initially when we started out, we were about 60 or so. But you know, I think I haven't been there the last 3 weeks, but, you know, I'm sure it's in that range of 35, 45 people. And, but most people are still at home watching it live streaming, you know, which is good. And then people are the ones that are coming and enjoying being able to, sit together and sing, and we're social distance seating. We have that all set up, so we're fine there. You know, at the beginning, we made masks recommended, but not mandatory. You know, as pastors, we're trying to take this as a every other week by week basis, saying, okay, where are we at now based on the data that we're hearing? What decisions do we want to do? How to be wise? And we made the decision last week for people to wear a mask coming into the building, take it off when you get to your seat, and you can sing without it and hear the message without it. But then at the end of the service, you know, put it back on when you're walking back out the door. And so that was, we just made the decision to do that. And, you know, that was just, again, it wasn't based on fear or anything. It's just based on love and wanted to make sure that we're being wise through the process. And, you know, some people loved it and didn't mind it. And some people said, you know, disagreed with it. And, but that's, you know, a lot of people have been that way throughout the whole process with any church, with all the churches that I'm aware of here in Gainesville, with the decisions. And, you know, people that want to come. Mm-hmm. And people that want to stay home, stay home. It's not those that are staying home have a lack of faith. And we want to be careful not to pigeonhole people and judge their motives as to why they're doing what they're doing. And somehow that they lack faith, or that you have more faith because you're not wearing a mask, or you're showing up on Sunday mornings and they're not. And we just don't want to do that as believers. That's not how God's called us to live life.
Now, you mentioned all the other churches in Gainesville. I know for years you've been part of the leadership of the Pastors Association up there. How has this thing, how has this time frame affected all the churches in Gainesville from what you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in regular contact with a lot of pastors, and it's you know, everybody is still doing live streams. Some are doing the Sunday morning drive-in churches where they're in their cars, and then they're doing outdoor stuff. So a lot of that is still going on, you know. And then, of course, you know, the COVID has hurt the economy really bad. And there are a lot of families in need. And we, as a pastors association, I believe I got the text this week. I believe this is our 16th week where we've done weekly food giveaways. And I know based on week, I think it was week 10 or 11, we hit over 100,000 people served over those 10 or 11 weeks. And so we're probably close to 125,000 people now, and that's still going on. I mean, they do it every Friday morning, and that has just been an added blessing that the church was able to do. We did also as a pastors association praying for the city on July 14th. So they wanted to do it 7/14, the date, and then they started at 7/14 based on 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, with all of the racial tensions, with all of the COVID stuff. And we joined together as pastors and prayed. 250 pastors joined together and prayed. And so that was at the university. That was at Florida Field. I actually got to use Florida Field for that. And then they had, I think, 10,000 people watch it via live streaming. So it was a wonderful time of prayer. I was obviously not able to join them because I had tested positive during that time. Mm-hmm. And that particular day was when I was in that sleeping mode stage and, you know, doing my thing, trying to get over the hump. But, you know, but from what I saw online and talking to the pastors that have called me to check on me and the text messages I've received, I heard it went well.
What about the just overall giving, Phil? Are you hearing churches talk about people's tithes, offerings being down or up? What kind of status are you guys in up there?
Yeah, you know, some of the guys, it seems to be that, you know, some of the giving has dropped. Some have stabilized. They haven't gone up or down. For us at Abundant Grace, we have a very generous people, and we have certainly, we've gone up. The people have given. I don't know if it was a COVID thing and it's like, hey, let me come in and support, but the people have been supportive. And so the giving has been, for Abundant Grace, has been very, the people have been very generous and very supportive during this time.
That's wonderful. So when you say go up, meaning going up higher than it was before all this began?
Yeah, I don't know the exact numbers right now off the top of my head, but, you know, certainly where we were, you know, what has been interesting, Mike, is that the live streaming, we've picked up people off live streaming and they have actually sent money in, which is shocking and surprising. And we've picked up a lot of folks just watching us live stream and, you know, and they have followed through with some of that through whether just sending a gift in or whatever the case may be. And so, we're at a good place as a church financially, and I'm grateful to God for that. And you know, we're just trying to be wise. Of course, there's not much happening at the building, so because of COVID, so therefore, you know, your electricity's down, you know, all your expenses go down, and that's also helped out as well.
You know, I think about in Paul's writings, how often he would refer back to the things that were going on in the churches that he would hear about from a distance. And that is, this is the kind of thing that when people hear the faithfulness of the congregations to their church, even though they may not have been able to be there personally, they're continuing to sow by faith and to give and tithes and offerings. That's such a blessing to hear that God is doing that. I'm so grateful for that. Talking to Phil Corson today, we're going to be back with Phil in just a moment, and we're going to find out what's going on in another area of ministry that Phil is a part of. Don't you dare go away. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. On the phone, my good friend Phil Corson. He is with Abundant Grace Community Church, and I think I'm duly wearing the man out today. This is probably the most you've talked in a long time, right, Phil?
It is. It is. This length along on a phone call, you bet.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to have a nice long nap after this one, right?
Yes, I am. I am. You're wearing me out.
Well, I'm so grateful. If you've just tuned in and you haven't heard, Phil and his wife, Kay, who used to be a part of the Orlando church that planted out Abundant Grace to Gainesville, they are suffering from, are getting over, I should say, from COVID-19.
Right.
And all of the impacts. And, you know, this thing affects people different ways. There's people in your church that are still in the hospital and still really fighting hard with even being on a ventilator, and we're praying for them. And
Yes. And
then there are others. My mom is 91 and was tested positive. And the extent of impact, now, when I heard that, I'm thinking, dear Lord, have mercy on my mom. And she's like now positive. My sister's been ill with it, was in the hospital on oxygen. But my mom, the extent of hers was a fever and a runny nose, and she's getting better from both. In fact, I talked to her last night. She's not even had fever probably in a week. And is still dealing, you know, from her standpoint, this has not proven yet for her to be anything worse in terms symptoms-wise than what would be a sinus infection. So, you know, people fight differently, and hearing that Herman Cain passed away yesterday from this thing.
Yes.
You know, he's only 74, so it's just unreal, the wide scope. People being affected by this thing in a different way, people's symptoms being completely across the board, minor to major impacts on their life. But I'm so grateful that you are getting better.
Yeah, I am too. It's been an interesting trip, you know, through the process and journey through this. But, even self-quarantining. Because, when you feel better, you're ready to get back in and get going, and you think you're through it. And it's like, no, you still got to be quarantined for a little bit longer.
And that's where you are right now. You just found out that you're partially over it, and there's a couple of strains apparently that.
Apparently there's two different strains or genes, I guess they call them, that they test you for. And I tested negative on one and positive on the other. And so I'll self-quarantine for another week and then get tested again and go from there. But the testing aspect, but I feel good, other than, like I said, the stamina aspect. But, one of the things, Mike, that has been also wonderful doing this is the prayers of the people. I've had people from all around the world praying for me, but then the people of Abundant Grace, man, they have reached out to us, making sure Kay and I are okay, bringing us food. I had no appetite during this time initially. I think I lost 25 pounds in a matter of, 2 weeks.
That's not a fun diet right there. That's not good.
That's not the good one. But when I finally got through it, it was pretty funny. When I finally got through this, and got over the hump, and then I was like, I think I can eat now. We had a family contact us and said, name it, what do you want? And I said, I think I want an Outback steak, you know, I just want a steak. And so we got the steak and sweet potato and the whole nine yards. And brother, putting that steak in my mouth, I thought I was in heaven, man. It was just like, after a week of not eating or just little nuggets, it was just like wonderful. And, but that's just how the people of Abundant Grace have been. They've just been so caring. And through the process of, you know, this one woman in the church, really, I think, got me through it when it came to, because my body was dehydrating. I was drinking a lot of water and trying to keep that hydrated, but I needed nutrients more than anything. And, you know, the chicken bone broth, and that's basically what got me through and got my nutrients up during that. During that COVID process, before I got over that hump, that was the only thing I was eating. And so, at my lowest point, man, this woman made this chicken and broth, and, that really got me through my toughest time. So
chicken soup for the soul.
That's for sure, man. Sounds like a book needs to be written on it, right?
Yeah, man. I tell you what, that's comfort food at its finest right there, just when you needed it, too. And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
And Kay, we'll be praying for you guys and all the people that know you who are listening, Phil and Kay Corson, Gainesville. In addition to serving the church and being a part of the whole, I guess you could call it the Association of Pastors up in Alachua County, you are also on the board for another ministry called Restored Hope Network. And this group reaches out to people who are fighting same-sex attraction, and that's something that's in the news, continues to be in the news. Even during COVID times, it's still out there. There are organizations pushing for laws seemingly every day, everywhere. And you're, I know you haven't been able to be an active at any conference, because let's face it, we're living in a day where conferences and coming together for meetings like that has really been just kind of put on hold for this time frame. But now I do know that there has been some recent news inside of Restored Hope. So why don't you share that?
Yeah, you know, you can go to restoredhopenetwork.org. If this is just a wonderful ministry that deals with those that are want to walk through and overcome same-sex attraction. There are these unwanted desires that they do, and there's ministries throughout the United States that help, and kind of Restored Hope Network is kind of like a central hub of all of that. And we had our conference in June via webinars, and had a wonderful result of people watching videos and teachings of this, and we have posted it, those things, on our Facebook page, and you can go to Facebook and like Restored Hope Network. And just recently, within the last week, Facebook is now censoring all of the materials from Restored Hope. Organizations with the LGBTQ folks have attacked, have been attacking Restored Hope Network, and now have gone to Facebook and trying to get them to pull, which they did. They pulled the webinars off of the Facebook site and did other things because of this term conversion therapy, which nobody knows what that means. And no ministry in Restored Hope Network practices what they call conversion therapy. And so it's really a form of censorship. And Ann Polk, who is the executive director, has been dealing with groups. And some, I know some people, if you're on Facebook, some friends, John Stemberger of the Florida Family Policy Council has written about it. Other groups throughout the United States have written about it. It's getting a lot of airwaves. From what I understand, CBN just did a piece on the censorship of it. And so it's just, once again, free speech being, eliminated by special interest groups. And Facebook has given into that. And so now we're battling Facebook and trying to get those things back up on the webpage. But it just shows you that what these groups can do.
Now, you just wake up one day and something that was there that yesterday is no longer there.
Right. Yeah.
That's just amazing. You can't search it out. You can't find it because they've got an algorithm that's now searching out. Would it be so far, and I'm asking this question just out of, because I don't know, but would that be an indication that they are now considering this ministry, Restored Hope Network, would they be considering you like a hate group or something like that? Is that what they're doing?
I don't think they've gotten that far yet. You know, maybe they would think that some of the teachings would be hate speech, but I'm not sure what there is. It was funny that, you know, I mean, even this week, all of the big tech companies were before the Congress, you know, they were accused of censorship, you know, on conservatives and all these other things, which they totally deny. But it's evident that it's there. And I am sure with the agenda of the LGBTQ people and the alignment with Facebook and what they're trying to do, they're going to censor those things that they don't think what they would deem inappropriate or hurtful or hateful, however you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're just running into First Amendment issues.
And you know, pastors and are
Facebook can't do that.
Pastors are finding this all across the country right now in different laws.
That's
where,
right.
Where there's almost like a question as to how many churches are going to be affected and how many prohibitions. But just like the governor of California has come out and said that churches can't meet, and if know, you can't sing without a mask, and all these things, it's only a questionable amount of time before then churches our pastors are really prohibited from ever saying anything at all about what is in the Bible. And that's going to be an interesting day when that comes about.
Yeah, it really is. And I know that there's been a lot of churches that have stepped up to the plate in California that have said, no, we're rejecting Governor Newsom's orders. We're still going to meet. I'm grateful for Governor DeSantis here in Florida. Felt like he's led wisely. He has deemed churches here as essential, which I think is very good and helpful. And, you know, because people are looking for answers. And with the, you know, one of the things that have resulted in the COVID thing is more suicides have increased.
It's and so sad.
And, you know, and physical abuse on women has also increased because everybody's quarantined, alcohol's there. It's the perfect storm for physical abuse and suicide, all these things that are taking place. So churches are essential. And then for churches to do what we've done here, as far as do food drives and do everything along those lines, that would not be happening with the city of Gainesville. That is happening because of the local churches coming together.
Well, I am very grateful for churches who are doing that kind of work, and they are coming together, and they're seeing, as we're all seeing, people rise up in the middle of all this to help people out during times like these. But I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see, Phil, what happens with groups like Restored Hope and people who are basically doing what the Bible tells us to do and to preach the word that the Bible tells us to preach. And we're living in a day that I know it's, I say this all the time, this is not my grandfather's America that we're in right now. So we're facing things that we've never had to face before. It's going to take courage. It's going to take leadership. It's going to take people standing up with what God says to do. And we may see some persecution right here in our own city limits at times.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. And I think that's why it's so important that we as Christians get out and vote. And because we need the right people in office to, in many cases, to select Supreme Court justices that will rule rightly and constitutionally. and not see the Constitution as something that's just fluid and can be changed and all of these things, because more and more, as we see the what's happening in our country right now, we need God, and we need Him to come, and I'm just believing God for revival to come to America. That's what we need, and we've got to pray, but we also need to do our civic duty and get out there and vote as well.
I agree with you. Phil Corson, Senior Pastor, Abundant Grace Community Church, and the website is liveabundantgrace.com. I've got that right, correct? Liveabundantgrace.com.
That is correct. And you can go there and join us live streaming if you want to and see some of our messages that we've taken place.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much. And we're continuing to pray for you. NK, get well.
Mike.
And now, my friend, you can go take a nap.
All right, buddy. Thank you, man. We'll talk later. Love you guys.
All right. All right. And friends, thank you so much for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.